This is Member Care Media, a media ministry of TWR. Up next, a conversation we believe will be helpful to you. This is a copyright production of Member Care Media and may not be reproduced without prior written consent.
Again, I'm back with part two of a five-part series that I'm calling Cleaning Our Spaces and Places, Room by Room. It's sort of an outrageous take on a book by Robert Boyd Munger called My Heart, Christ's Home. And he writes about various rooms in our house, of our heart, if you will, that Christ comes in and has some comments about. And today I'm talking about the whole issue of the study. There's a number of other rooms, and I'm not going to get through all of them in my series, but I am going to get through at least three or four. Let me read the section that has to do with the study. The first room was the study, or the library. In my home, this room of the mind is a very small room with very thick walls, but it is a very important room. In a sense, it's the control room of the house. He entered with me and looked around at the books on the bookcase, the magazines upon the table, the pictures on the walls. As I followed his gaze, I became uncomfortable. Strangely, I had not felt self-conscious about this before, but now that he was there looking at these things, I was embarrassed. Some books were there that his eyes were too pure to behold. On the table were a few magazines that a Christian had no business reading. As for the pictures on the walls, the imaginations and thoughts of the mind, some of these were shameful. Red-faced, I turned to him and said, "Master, I know that this room needs to be cleaned up and made over. Will you help me make it to what it ought to be?" "Certainly," he said. "I'm glad to help you. First of all, take all the things that you're reading and looking at which are not helping and are not helpful or pure or good or true and throw them out. Now put on the empty shelves the books of the Bible. Fill the library with scripture and meditate on it day and night. As for the pictures on the walls, you will have difficulty controlling those images, but I have something that will help." He gave me a full-size portrait of himself. "Hang this centrally," he said, "on the wall of the mind." I did, and I have discovered through the years that when my thoughts are centered upon Christ himself, his purity and power cause impure thoughts to back away. So, he has helped me to bring my thoughts under his control. Now, that's a nice little metaphor, if you will, on this whole process, but I got to tell you, I'm getting more and more uncomfortable as I get into this. Why? Well, on one level, it seems like I can't do anything right if I was that person. Certainly. There is the gaze of Christ on all that we do, and it often comes up wanting. There is some reality-based uncomfortableness there. But this also goes back at kind of how I put my life together, and that, you know, I work in an arena that is not typically a traditional arena, if you will. Working in psychotherapy and counseling and helping people with problems, I have to deal with a lot of things that become quite problematic for people. I have to have books on my shelf that maybe the normal person wouldn't have. And I guess I would rephrase that as he looked on the shelf and saw some of those titles, which obviously were not necessarily Christian, that he would say something to me like, "I'm glad that you're looking at that and trying to figure out how to reach people with those issues." Because I think that it's all about Christ coming into our lives, that incarnation, and helping us to grow towards him, but also helping us to be effective at ministering and reaching out to those around us. Maybe that's not how you think, but, you know, for me, I'm often called to address issues that are quite painful, that are quite problematic, and I have to know in an academic, in a professional sense, how to deal with some of those issues. And I have to be a subject matter expert, if you will, on some of these things in order to be all that I feel that I am called to be. I think that's like those of us that engage in dialogue with people of other faith walks. To a certain extent, we have to know quite a bit about what the other person believes. Why? Well, then we can speak into it. If we didn't know anything, I think it's going to be a real problem for us. So, you know, I take a bit of a missiological view of this book, and probably that's what's going to happen throughout the rest of the series. also another thing that came to mind is, you know, a physician, which is like my son who's in med school. I mean, some of the books that he has, I mean, they leave nothing to be desired in terms of their pictures and images of the body and all parts of the body. And nothing is left up to the imagination, because you got to see what it looks like in order to be able to treat it and heal issues. But because there are pictures of people, naked bodies in his books, does that mean his books are inherently pornographic? No, not at all. Would somebody look at those books and develop impure thoughts and have problems with that? Certainly. But that is a risk that my son has to take in order to become proficient in his calling into medicine. And sometimes I think that we get too focused on avoidance and not focused enough on how to discover and imagine and manage these kinds of issues as they come up. This is kind of one of those topics I wish I had you in my room here and we could talk and I could see if you're shaking your head angrily or you're going to pounce on me or you're going to be agreeing with me. But I think that there is an aspect of our study in our heart that we have to recognize that there are things that we're going to have to address. Now, maybe since he's talking about the